How many people this morning like to be told what to do? Raise your hand if you like being told what to do. Most of us would say probably not. Maybe sometimes we don't mind being told what to do when we really know the person, respect the person who's telling us what to do, what they're telling us, and we believe that's right. There are some people in your life whose wisdom you really, really trust. And if they tell you what they want you to do or what you should do because you trust them, you're likely to say, well, I'm going to listen to them because they're likely steering me in a good direction. But then there are these other people in your life who want to tell you what to do, and you've seen them make one bad decision after another, and you're thinking, I don't think so. There's no way I'm going to do what they tell me to do. You're not as confident in their wisdom. Am I right? Isn't that true? Actually, sometimes it seems like everyone has an opinion on what you should do, doesn't it? That everybody wants to tell you which way to turn, what choices that you should make. Wise counsel is welcomed, but we should guard against foolish counsel. But how do you know the difference between the two? There are benefits to wise counsel if we're humble enough to receive it when it's given to us. Do you know what we need? What we really need is we need some good sense around wise counsel. That's what we need. Thankfully, we have just that. The book of Proverbs in the Bible is a book full of good sense. And it's a summer message series that we're in calling More Good Sense, where we're going back to Proverbs to learn more good sense for our lives. And the proverb answers some of that for us today as we talk about welcoming wise counsel into our lives. Before we get into the Proverbs, however, we first need to understand how the Bible teaches, what it teaches about the difference between heavenly wisdom and worldly wisdom. Heavenly and worldly wisdom. The world offers its wisdom all the time, doesn't it? But at the core of the world's wisdom, it will derail you. It will eventually derail you. Hear what James 3:15 through 16 says about earthly wisdom. It says this. It says, for jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. The wisdom of the world, friends, the truth is, it's just too tainted. It's too tainted with self-gain, bettering oneself over others, and it can't give us the pure guidance that heavenly wisdom gives us. Hear what James 3:17 says about heavenly wisdom. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. Always sincere. Now, I don't know about you, but I want the counsel of heaven, full of mercy and good deeds and sincere, and not what the world leads to disorder and evil of every kind. Proverbs has a lot to say to us this morning about the heavenly wisdom and counsel that we can receive. I'm going to share with us today a list of 9 guidelines for welcoming wise counsel. 9 guidelines pretty quickly. And here's the first guideline. First one is this, coming from the Proverbs. Seek godly counsel, not worldly counsel. Godly counsel, not worldly counsel. Now, that ties into what we've already begun to say, doesn't it? We've got to have real discernment when it comes to seeking advice. It sounds logical, right? But we do. We need real discernment. And yet, we often go to the world for what only God can give us. This happens all the time in the area of counseling. Many Christians who are going through difficult emotional or mental struggles, who need to talk things out with someone else, often they don't even consider if the counselor they go to is a Christian or not. If it's a professional counselor, then they just go. If I'm going to a dentist, or if I'm going to an eye doctor, or I'm going to an internal medicine doctor for that matter, it may not matter as much to me if that person's a Christian or not. Although I would prefer it may not matter as much. But still, I want to know that those medical doctors that I choose are the best in their field, right? However, they're just caring for my teeth or my eyes or my high cholesterol that I might be dealing with. But when you talk about what we're talking about today, we're talking about dealing with something much more precious. A counselor's dealing with my mind. a counselor is dealing with what's going on in my head, and I recently heard it put this way, like this: I don't want to invite someone into my head, into my mind, who doesn't know Jesus and isn't going to steer me toward Jesus. That's like me getting an oil and lube job done to the air conditioning system of my car. I don't want oil and grease in my air conditioning system, and I don't want worldly counsel into my mind. I've also heard it said this way: Christian counselors have the corner on truth. They have the corner on truth. Jesus is the truth. And if you don't have Jesus, you don't have the whole truth to offer me. And if a counselor can't bring me Jesus and the wisdom of heaven, then I'm only resting on what this world has to offer. I want all that God has to offer, and he offers us Jesus. The same is true when I'm seeking counsel from friends in my life. I want to go to other believers in Jesus who I trust to steer me toward Jesus in everything that I do. Now, there may be some who say, but I've went to a Christian counselor before, and it didn't help at all. It wasn't good counseling at all. Okay, maybe that person wasn't a good fit for you. Or maybe they weren't a good counselor. I'm not saying that just because you're a Christian makes you a good counselor. That may not be true. Maybe you need to try another Christian counselor who can better help your situation. But it doesn't change the fact, friends, that a non-Christian counselor can't bring you wisdom from heaven because they don't have it. That only comes through knowing Jesus. Listen to this good sense from Proverbs 12:5. The thoughts of the righteous are just. The counsels of the wicked are deceitful. The counsels of the wicked are deceitful. Now you may be thinking, are you saying that my counselor or my friend is wicked, and so I can't talk to them about anything? No, I'm not saying that at all. And in fact, you may get some good advice from friends and non-Christian friends, non-Christian counselors, but still, they don't have Jesus. All they have to draw from is the world's wisdom. And the world's wisdom is laced with what's wicked and what's deceitful. You can see it in our world right now. It's a matter of the world being broken because of sin, not your friend or counselor being a bad person or trying to lead you to deceit. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that counsel from heaven can only come from people that know about heaven, right? But just think of the advice coming out of the world today. Here's some of the advice coming out of the world today. Places in the world today, they're saying there are 72 genders. What? Where does the wisdom, where does the good science come from in that? And is it in God's word? No, you can't find it there. He created them. It says male and female. How about this one? Cheating's only wrong if you get caught. That's part of the wisdom of the world. You need to do what's best for you. Make all the money you can. Spend all the money you can. Go into debt today to get what you can't pay for now, but you don't want to wait till tomorrow to get. That's worldly advice. How about this one? Killing a baby is okay even after it's been born. I'm not making that up. That's the debate in part of our country right now. After the baby's already been born, killing a baby. Or how about this one? If you practice safe sex, then it's okay to hook up with whoever you want, whenever you want, wherever you want. And it's only about the physical connection. That's worldly wisdom. Or this one, don't worry about getting enough sleep to take care of your body. Just fuel up on energy drinks or a whole lot of caffeine. That's not really good for you. Or how about this one? You can't leave your home without your cell phone in hand. You've got to have that cell phone attached to you all the time. That's not good wisdom. Or you have inalienable rights. That means insurance is owed to you, money is owed to you, privilege is owed to you, and you don't have to earn a thing. Or this one, if you believe it's okay, then it's okay. Or if you believe you're someone or you're something else, then you're someone or something else. If you want to do it, then just do it. There's no sin, there's no right, there's no wrong. Besides, no one else has to know what you're doing and they'll never know. Friends, that's all wisdom right now that comes from our world. That's worldly wisdom, and it's wicked and it deceives us. That is not the kind of counsel that I want to go to. That is not the kind of counsel I want to be directed from. That sets us up for the other guidelines that we're talking this morning about welcoming wise counsel. So let's go to the second guideline. The second one is this: stand with God. Stand with God. Friends, no matter what counsel you may receive or who you receive it from, you make sure that you stand with God. that you stand with God. If the direction you consider in your life turns you away from God, pits you against God, ignores God, or counters God, or puts you in a place opposing God, standing against him, then believe me, you do not want to be there. You don't want to be there. This is what makes it so hard sometimes in life, isn't it? When we have to think it through in areas of our life, like even the movies we see. There's a movie out there that really looks good, but then you check it out, and the more that you find out about it, you find embedded in it are these things that clearly stand against God and God's ways. What counsel are you going to listen to in that point? Who are you going to turn to? Are you going to look to the number one box office hit movie in the country review? Or are you going to see the one that dispels what's really the content of the movie? By the way, if you want a tool to help you in discerning what movies you watch that stand for God or don't stand for God, there's a website called PluggedIn.com. PluggedIn.com. It's a movie review site from Focus on the Family. And it lets you know the questionable content that's in the movie. Even older movies often are there. It lets you know the questionable content that's there, gives you a family review on it as well, gives you a heads up to even what's in it spiritually and other kind of components. And if you go to PluggedIn.com, just let me tell you, and you take this serious, you're going to find that there's some movies maybe you would have saw before that you're going to say, I'm not going to see. You've got to allow that to actually impact your decision of whether you're going to stand with God in what you're putting into your mind or not. But it's a really great tool that's helpful. Other things that make it hard to stand with God are when standing with God pits you against standing with your friend group, the decisions they're making, or the work that you're, the direction your work is taking, or even choices that your own family makes. But friends, it's simple as 2 + 2 mathematics. If the counsel you receive doesn't stand with God, it isn't from God. If it doesn't stand with God, it isn't from God. And it's not the counsel you want to receive. This is what Proverbs 21:30 teaches us. It says, no human wisdom or understanding or plan can stand against the Lord. No human wisdom, understanding, or plan can stand against the Lord. You see, the truth is that none of that stuff will ultimately be able to stand against God. And when it comes falling down, I don't want to go falling down with it. I want to be standing with God, and it's just simple good sense to do that. Third guideline for welcoming wise counsel is this. Be willing to listen, right? Be willing to listen. How often do you come to a friend, even a godly friend, pretending to seek their wisdom and counsel in some area of your life, but you already have in your mind before you go to them what you're going to do, right? And if you don't get the counsel or direction that you want from that friend, you go to another friend. And you try to get the direction that you want from that friend. Then if you can't get it from that friend, you go to another friend. And you keep going to other sources until you find somebody who agrees with what you were already going to do, or you ignore what everybody says and you go your own way anyway. Here's a voice of wisdom to you in those cases. If you're seeking counsel or advice from people who truly are godly Christ followers and their opinions are all adding up in the same direction on the same side of the decision, you better give some real prayer and thought before you go and jump to the opposite answer. If they're seeing red flags and multiple Christians are seeing the same similar red flags, then get this, those flags are probably staked into some real issues that you need to consider. Of course, every decision that we make should be in line with the Word of God, no matter what any person says. But if your friends are seeking to stand with God in their lives, you want to pay attention to the counsel that's going to come from them. When we come to others seeking their When we come to others seeking their advice, but we've already made up our own minds on the decision, what we're really doing is then we're not really truly seeking to listen at all. We're only seeking to give someone, give us a stamp of approval on what we were already going to do to begin with. And if we don't get it, sometimes we keep lowering our standards of who we go to talk to until we get what we want to hear. That's not listening. Proverbs 12:15 makes this clear. What we're being when we don't really listen. It says, fools think their own way is right, but the wise listen to others. Fools. Not listening makes you a fool. Now, I'm not calling you a fool. The Bible, God's word, is calling you a fool when you do that. But we'll talk more about what being a fool looks like next week. Let's go into the fourth guideline for welcoming wise counsel, and it's this. Use your God-given common sense. Use your God-given common sense. Listen to Proverbs 8:14. Common sense and success belong to me. Insight and strength are mine. That's what belongs to the Lord. Common sense and insight and strength. God has good sense that becomes common to believers. As you read and become familiar with the Word of God, you develop a common sense to answer a large percent of the decisions that you're going to make in life. If the Bible tells us something is right, or tells us something we're supposed to do, just as being Christians, then we can use our God-given common sense to just do it. We don't have to go seek counsel on things that Scripture already tell us that we're supposed to do. Here are some examples of that. God's word tells me to share the hope that I have in Jesus Christ. And so I don't need to question whether I should or shouldn't tell a friend about Jesus. I already know the answer to that is yes. I just need to do it. Or I don't need to ask others if I should really forgive another person, because God's word already tells us that we should forgive as we've been forgiven. And that means in everything. I don't need to ask if I should forgive. I just need to forgive. Also, I don't need to seek advice on whether I should help someone else when I can. God's word already tells me to do it when I can. Do it as soon as I can. And don't wait until tomorrow unless I have to. It already tells me that. I don't need to ask if I should love my children or discipline them when it's needed or teach them about God. His word's already told me if you spare the rod, you're going to spoil the child. So I have to have discipline. It's already told me that I'm going to raise them in the way that they should go. I don't need to ask if I should do that. I already know that I've been given wise counsel from heaven in the Bible telling me what to do. I don't need to question being a good steward of all that I have, or giving the first and the best of what I have to God, because I already know that the word tells me to do all of those things. See, the Bible is filled with common sense answers. We just need to learn them and do them. And at times, stop asking so many questions when we already know. That's living with good sense. That leads us to the fifth guideline for welcoming wise counsel, and it's this: increase your learning. Increase your learning. Proverbs 1:5 teaches, "Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance." If you want the common sense of God, then do everything you can to learn it. Do what you can to learn it. Read your Bible, study your Bible, get into a life group or a Bible study. Participate in this summer session in July, where we increase in learning together. And just so you know, for this year's summer session, we're going to do a class that I've taught around here for several years called The Journey. And it's going to be an abridged version of The Journey. It's usually 6 weeks. We're going to do it in four. But if you've been through The Journey before, several have, I'm inviting you to come back. If you've never been to The Journey, I'm inviting you to come. I would love to see the whole church here on Wednesday nights in July. This is an amazing course that helps you grow in discipleship, helps you learn how to spend time with God, helps you think about how you share your faith, all these great things. My wife has been through this 5 times and still loves to do it again. So I encourage you to be a part of that Wednesday nights in July at 6:30. You'll be hearing more about that. There will be a sign-up probably starting next week so we can print enough materials for everyone. Other things, read reliable Christian books to teach you. The more you learn about God and you learn about his way, the easier it is to understand and to obtain guidance. It just becomes way easier. Most of you have heard that I came to Jesus when I was 18 years old. And it was the summer after I graduated from high school, so we're getting pretty close. I don't remember the exact day, but pretty close to the day that I became a Christian a whole bunch of years ago. Well, one of the best things that the youth pastor who led me to Jesus did is right away he plugged me into a Bible study group with new believers. And in that Bible study, it taught us the basics of the faith. It taught us the basics of the Bible. And it got me to all right away begin increasing my learning. And here's the thing for me. Before Jesus, I was not a reader at all. I sat in front of the TV. That's how I grew up. I didn't grow up reading books. My wife grew up reading books. We didn't. We grew up in front of the TV, and I hated it, but we did. And so reading came very slowly to me because I didn't read a lot. Well, my new life with Jesus, partnered with the encouragement of my youth pastor, got me actually started reading God's word, reading other Christian authors' books and about faith and growing and learning. And for me, the increase of my learning as a Christian came very quickly. And within a few months, I was leading two other groups with other people in it, Bible study groups with them. I by no means knew it all or even knew much at all. But as a leader, I was a learner. And I was learning, continuing to learn and lead at the same time. When you increase your learning and you hear from God, the guidance of God becomes a lot easier. You're receiving your counsel from God, and there's a lot of things that you don't even need to ask others about because you've already gained the wisdom in what you're learning. Friends, we can never stop learning about God. And as we learn more and more and more, we know that there's so much more to learn. But we also learn about his guidance. It's good sense to increase your learning. Here's the sixth guideline for wise counsel. Create a board of advisors. A board of advisors. As you grow with Jesus and as you learn, look for those people in your life who share your heart for Jesus, who know you and love you and can provide wise counsel for you. Now, I'm not talking about a board that meets on a regular basis and you come together, bring recommendations and take votes and notes and write down minutes. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm talking about a people, three or four people in your life who you know love Jesus first in their life and who love you, who you can pick up the bat line and call them at any time. Do you remember the old silly Batman TV show that used to be on a long time ago? And Commissioner Gordon had the red bat line phone and he'd pick it up and it would start blinking red and Bruce Wayne's mansion for Bruce Wayne to get it so Batman could get the call. Or they'd flash the big bat signal in the sky so that Batman could see it. Batman knew that he was needed. Well, your board of advisors, they don't need to be superheroes. They don't even need to be super Christians. But they do need to be those who are passionate about Jesus and whose advice and wisdom you can trust. Another difference between these advisors and Batman's red hotline is that the calls for advice for them, those calls go both ways. Sometimes they're calling you for advice as well. These people can call on you and you can call on them for wise counsel. For me as a pastor, there are four people who are my board of advisors. They all currently are in some form of ministry and fashion because of my life. Three of them are pastors. That doesn't need to be the case with you. Your board of advisors doesn't need to be pastors or people in ministry. But for me, as a shepherd of God's people, that's what's helpful for me. So that's who they are in my life. When I've had to deal with difficult deaths in the church or hard decisions or difficult circumstances, I've gotten on the bat line, right, with one of those board members in my life, those people who I can go to for advice to seek that from them. And also, when I've just needed personal accountability about something or advice for my personal life, I get on the line, I get together with one of those people who are always there for me to advise me. Here's what Proverbs 11:14 teaches about this. It says, where there is no guidance, a people falls. But in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. And an abundance of counselors, there is safety. Friends, I don't want to fall. Do you? Do you? I need an abundance of counselors. Having a board of counselors is good sense. It's just good sense. Seventh guideline for welcoming wise counsel is this. Plan for peace. Peace. Let's look at Proverbs 12:20. Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but counselors of peace have joy. They have joy. When we're making the decision about which voices we're going to listen to and seeking wise counsel, we want to look for those who are peace-driven, people who are peace-driven. Have you been around those people who seem to be like agenda-driven all the time? And everything they do, everything they say or counsel, they do, and it turns back to some sort of agenda. Have you been around that? That's not what we're looking for here. That's not the kind of person you're going to go to when you look for those who are on your spiritual board of advisors. When you seek counsel, you want to be looking and seeking to connect to the heart of God. And God's heart always leads. God's heart always leads to peace, because peace brings joy, is what the passage tells us. Who are those believers that you know that seem to have real peace in their hearts? Who are those who have a maturity to not get worked up or get hot-headed over hot topics, but just want to love Jesus? Agenda-driven people can tend to allow other attitudes into their hearts that sometimes unknowingly can turn to deceit and devising evil for the sake of their agenda, and there's not a lot of joy in that. But as the proverb says, counselors of peace bring joy. I want more peace and joy in my life, not more agitation. Good sense has proven to me over the years that this is what you'll really find from this is what you really find if you go to those who have satisfaction in the Lord. If you go to someone who's often angry for counsel, you're likely going to get counsel that's aggression-driven. If you go to someone who's politically passionate all the time for counsel, you'll likely get counsel that's driven through policy answers. If you go to someone if you go to someone who's work-driven for your counsel, then often your counsel is filled with a lot of how do I solve this problem answers. But if you go to someone who walks life, their life in peace that comes from God, that comes from Jesus, then you'll likely find counsel that leads to joy. Eighth guideline for welcoming wise counsel is this: seek greater understanding. Often when we're seeking wise counsel, we're giving counsel for that matter. What we're really seeking is an answer, even a particular answer in mind. We're seeking something cut and dry that will answer or fix everything for us. However, what we should really be seeking is greater understanding. Proverbs 25 says, though good advice lies deep within the heart, a person with understanding will draw it out. Have you heard someone say something like, the answer is deep within you? Have you heard something like that before? Now, sometimes that's a bunch of bunk. That's a phrase my mom used growing up. She'd say, that's a bunch of bunk, or that's a bunch of baloney. Now, I'm not sure what bunk is, and I don't know what lunch meat has to do with it, but I understand what my mom was saying when she said that. She was saying, I don't really believe that. I don't really buy it. Those are just words. Well, sometimes to say the answer is deep within you is just, it's just words for someone else who doesn't know how to answer. But wise counsel will help you to really search your heart on whatever's really going on and to draw out greater understanding. That's not bunk. That's not baloney. That's the Bible right here in this proverb. Some of my favorite people to go to for wise counsel, they don't try to fix it. They don't try to solve it. They just ask good questions to help me to think it through. Now, some of the time, that actually frustrates me because what I want is a concise answer. But most of the time, it's way better because it helps me to find my heart in the situation, and it helps me to find God's heart in the situation. Friends, we don't have to solve the problem of everyone who comes to us. And believe me, I like to solve problems, partially because it makes me feel good about myself. But what makes good sense is helping others to dig in deeper to gain greater understanding. So refrain from just popping out a quick answer to the problem. Those quick answers may actually steer someone in the wrong direction. Seek instead to help them to understand more, to understand more. Here's the ninth, the final guideline for welcoming wise counsel. It's this: get the best advice you can, but God's purpose will prevail. God's purpose will prevail. Listen to Proverbs 19, 20 and 21. Listen to advice and accept instruction, that you may gain wisdom in the future. Many are the plans in the mind of man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. Many are the plans in the mind of man, but it's the purpose of God that will stand. Look, when it comes down to getting wise counsel, seek the best advice that you can. Gain all the wisdom that you can. Make all the plans that you can. But understand that in God's purpose, it's his purpose that matters, and it will prevail. That's not saying that we don't have free will, that we don't get to make any choice in the matter to begin with, but it does say that we can't plan it all. And sometimes as soon as we think that we got it all figured out, we learn that God has another idea in mind altogether. Understand that God's ways are never evil. They're always what's best for you. And we still have choice to follow them or not, but he does have a greater purpose that will stand. When I was in college, I had no idea that I was going to graduate and become a youth pastor. I wasn't even on my radar. I didn't know for sure what I was going to do. I just knew that a degree was a smart thing to have so that I could go somewhere in life. Then I graduated from college, and God presented the opportunity for me to do youth ministry. I sought wise counsel along the way, but it was never my plan. It was his plan. I then thought and planned that I was going to be a long-time youth pastor, even a lifetime youth pastor, but then God's purpose for me changed again. I got a phone call about applying for a ministry position that I didn't even know existed. I was sought to consider a director of discipleship position in the church. And let me, and don't tell anybody this, friends, but you know what? I didn't even know what that position meant. I didn't even know what a director of discipleship was at the time, what a director of discipleship did. But seeking wise counsel, I stepped into God's purpose for me, and it hadn't been my plan, but it was his purpose, and it was some of the 10 of the most amazing years of my life. Then later, God called me to lead a pastor, be a lead pastor at a church. Again, I wasn't making plans for that. I was content to be in the support person role for the pastor, leading life group leaders and life group ministry and helping engage people in ministry. But after seeking wise counsel, I again stepped into God's purpose and found myself loving ministry in brand new ways. Several years later, God's purpose for me shifted again when I received the call to come and be the lead pastor here at Old Fort Church, believe it or not, 9 years ago, the end of this month. Can you believe that? 9 years ago, the end of this month. And again, God's purpose was way better than anything I could have planned for myself. Friends, I want to live fully given to God. I want to seek all the wise advice that I can, accept all the instruction that I can, but I don't want to be anywhere except in the purpose and will of God. So I'll have my board of advisors and I'll seek wise counsel, but in the decision making, I'm going to do all I can to listen to Jesus. How about you? How about you? After looking at these 9 guidelines for seeking wise counsel, let me close with a familiar children's story with a bit of a twist. Okay, let's listen to this story. I think you'll recognize part of it, except for what I've changed. Once upon a time, there were 3 little pigs. The 3 little pigs needed to build their homes. The first pig sought unwise counsel from a worldly straw salesman who gave him a great deal on a bundle of straw. He built a house that looked a little like it might be in a barnyard somewhere, but after all, he was a pig, so he was satisfied, right? The second little pig came across a farmer clearing out the sticks in his field that had blown down from a storm, and he sought unwise counsel from this farmer, asking if the farmer thought that these sticks would make a good house. Well, the farmer wanted to get the sticks out of his field, so he said, "Of course, these sticks would make a wonderful home for you." It didn't strike the pig that the sticks had already been failed one storm, and so they weren't likely to hold up to another one. But he got the pig sticks for free, and he built this house that was a little wobbly, looked a little bit like a starter for a bonfire, but he was satisfied. The third little pig wanted a sturdy house that would withstand both wind and wolf, and so he sought wise counsel from a nearby builder. The wise builder assured him that brick was the smartest way to go. It was more expensive than the straw. It was not free like the sticks. It would take more work. It would take more time to build it. And so overall, it called for greater investment of time and energy and resources, but it would stand firm against high wind and or windy woof. And so listening to the advice, receiving the instruction, and seeing a clear plan from God, the third little pig built a house with brick. It stood strong and tall, and the third pig felt fulfilled. And you know the rest of the story, right? The big bad wolf got hungry. And he went to the first pig's house and blew and over it fell and he had some ham. And then the big bad wolf got hungry again and he came to the second pig's house and he blew and the sticks fell and he had some pork chops. But then he got hungry again and so he came to the third pig's house and he blew and all he had was to walk away as a blowhard because nothing happened. Friends, the moral of the story is this. Find those people in your life who love Jesus. Who love Jesus and who love you. And seek the best and the wisest counsel from them that you can. Consult with God. Consult with his word. And walk every step that you can right smack dab in the middle of his purpose and his will for your life. And you'll stand strong against the big bad wolves of this world. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for counsel from heaven. We thank you that we're not just put on this spinning orbit called earth to figure it all out by ourselves. But if we turn to you and turn to those who love you and turn to your word and listen to your will, we find a plan. We find a purpose. We find a way. We find guidance and wisdom from heaven to lead us always. God, the world is throwing out all kinds of advice right now and all kinds of wrong directions. And people are getting confused. Lock us into your truth that we're not confused. But we stand tall when the big bad wolf blows. We stand tall on the guidance and counsel of God. Lead us in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends, we're on a communion Sunday today. We backed it up a week because of the breakfast last week. It just felt kind of strange to me to stuff ourselves with pancakes and come in here and have the Lord's Supper. So we backed it up a week. But if you'll peel back the top layer, the clear layer to get to the bread and just hold it for a moment. Look at it in your fingers or in your hand and just think about the body of Jesus. That when our life was at its worst, when humanity had come to the bottom, when sin had ravaged everyone, God sent his only son, his body to be broken so that we could be forgiven of our sins, that he took our place on the cross. And every time you take and you eat the bread, remember his body that's been broken for you. Remember what he's done for you and receive the peace of his wisdom and guidance in your life. Take and eat and remember. Foil to get to the juice. Don't spill it on yourself. Look into it for a moment and catch the light as it glimmers on the top of the juice. And think of God's blood there. The blood of Jesus has been shed for you. And every time you take and you drink it, remember that's the blood that washes you. That's the blood of forgiveness that cleanses you. As Jesus died for you, take and drink. And remember. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your body broken, your blood shed. Thank you for forgiveness of sins that's offered to the whole world, all who will receive it. Help us to live as the body of Christ, representing your blood and bread broken for us. Blood and body broken for us, representing that to the world that others may know the guidance of Jesus for their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I can sure agree with that song, can't you? I need God. I need God to lead me. I need Jesus to lead me. Because if I go on my own way, it always goes off. So I need Jesus and I need you. We need each other to stay on that path together, to follow wise counsel of heaven, to share it with one another, to steer each other. That's the body of Christ. And that's what we strive for. That's what we hope for together. Have a really blessed week. If you're not a part of VBX this week, please pray for it every day. Take time every day to pray for the children that are coming, to pray for children to turn to Jesus because they need Jesus too. So Make that a part of your prayers this week. God bless you, and we'll see you next week.